My name is Ian Locke, and I'm going to chair this today. And I'll just briefly introduce Dr. Zudi Liu, who's a lecturer in applied stats and financial maths at Curtin University. Come in, please. He's previously worked as a research officer at London School of Economics for 3 years, and before 2003, he was in the Institute of Systems Science at the Chinese Academy of Sciences as an associate professor for about 5 years. His research interests range from nonlinear time series econometrics towards the financial risk modelling in quantitative finance and the challenging statistical spatial temporal inference towards the environmental risk modelling and weather derivative pricing in environmental finance and insurance. He's also interested in developing statistical methodologies in health insurance and medical stats. At Curtin, he's initially established and is the conveyor of the study group of Safer Studies with members from the four universities and CSIRO in Perth in order to develop statistical and econometric tools on how to measure, model and forecast the actuarial, financial and environmental risks and develop actuarial and financial tools on how to transfer, hedge and price the actuarial, financial and environmental risks. So without further ado, I will hand over to Zudi. His co-writer, Shi Li, is not here today. So Zudi will be giving the whole presentation. Over to you, Zudi.
Thank you very much to you, and thank you very much for everyone for coming here. Today, my presentation, the title is Estimating Value at Risk of Portfolio. It is based on the secured EWMA forecasting by Copula. First of all, I would give some outline of the talk. I will introduce some background on the value at risk modeling, and then we will look at the important problems of estimating value at risk. So here, of course, we have lots of difficulties. So some difficulties we will have a look at. And then for such difficulties, how we will solve some of them. So that, of course, is just what I did in this talk with my course, and we suggested using a symmetrical Laplace distribution to fit the marginal distribution for portfolios, and also we suggested by the Copula to model the dependence among the individual securities. So we developed a secured EWMA and the forecasting of VLI Copula. First, at the end of this talk, we will look at some future development. So for financial risk modeling, of course, now it is really important and a really interesting topic. So here I give some background. So for financial practice and the globalization poses many challenging questions on financial risks. For example, how to model, how to price such financial risks, and how to hedge such the derivatives, as well as how to price the hedging derivatives. And also, financial innovation produced lots of new financial instruments. For example, such securitization of insurance risks, for example, just like such weather risk. We have weather derivatives and such as catastrophe risk. We have catastrophe insurance derivatives. So because in this talk, I will focus on the financial market risk. So for financial market risk, during in 2001, in the preface of his book, just point out that Risk management has truly experienced a revolution in the last few years. This was started by value at risk. So this is a new method to measure financial market risk that was developed in response to the financial disasters of the early 1990s. So here we have some examples on such financial disasters. So here you can see, in all those disasters, the loss of such a disaster was more than $1 billion. And also like the 1997 Asia financial market turmoil, of course it is well known, causing vast disasters. So in fact, for value at risk, as early as in 1993, group of 30 just advised to value the position using the market prices and assess the financial risks via value at risk. Now, of course, value at risk has become a benchmark risk measure for minimum reserve capital requirements. It has been widely recommended. For example, here, just like the Basel Accord, the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank, as well as European Union's capital adequacy directives. So, of course, for value at risk, the greatest advantage is just because it is very simple. It is easy to understand, to measure the downside risk due to the financial market factors. So it can be used for reporting the risk, and also it can be used to control the risk. Most importantly, it now is used to manage the financial risk. So for value at risk, of course, statistically, it is very simple. In fact, just a quantile. So for this quantile, if we can know the distribution of the financial loss, so for example, if we, in terms of the return series, then the value at risk, of course, just the given some confidence level. For example, if we have confidence level alpha of course could be like 95%, then we can calculate the value at risk based on the distribution of such financial return series. So here, for example, just like the famous Black-Scholes model, of course, for Black-Scholes model, the stock price just modeled by this geometric Brownian motion. So based on this geometric Brownian motion, we know that log return, its distribution is normal. And we have such a daily return series, it is normally distributed with a mean value mu valence sigma squared. So mu in fact is equal to alpha minus half sigma squared. So here you can see, based on this model, of course, value at risk is very simple. We can calculate it. If we can get the values of parameters mu and the sigma, then it is very simple. And usually in risk modeling, of course, just like such a mean value of the return usually is very small. So this mu, often we just could simply assume it is zero when we are modeling the risk. The normal distribution, of course, very simple, but in practice, our return series often are not normal. So here we have some stylized facts on the financial return series. So for example, we have the return series show little autocorrelation, but not independent of each other. And also, just like the conditional expected return, of course, it is close to zero. But the absolute or squared return series show profound autocorrelation. So that's, of course, just volatility, swelling with the time. And also, just like the extreme returns appear in crust. So therefore, in reality, distribution of return series is secured and heavy-tailed. And in particular, it is also high-peaked. So therefore, it is a departure from the normal distribution. So for such features, in J.P. Morgan, of course, it is a very well-known model for value at risk, an important force for the popularity in financial modeling, risk modeling, maybe just due to J.P. Morgan's risk metric system. In this system, the EWMA methodology is widely used. So for this methodology, of course, in this model, it is based on the conditional distribution. So based on the conditional distribution, of course, value at risk, it is very simple. So the important problem, if we assume the mean value equal to zero, then the point is just how to model the volatility, sigma. So for this volatility, in J.P. Morgan model, an EWMA methodology is proposed. Of course, this EWMA methodology, in fact, just EWMA version of the usual volatility, usual sample valence estimate of the volatility. So for this model, of course, if the return distribution is conditional normal, this model is indeed very good. Of course, as we said, in practice, the normal distribution is not satisfied. So in the literature, Gourmet and Harris in 2000, they developed a new kind of EWMA methodology. They named it as robust EWMA. Their methodology is based on the assumption if the return distribution from Laplace distribution, of course, for Laplace distribution, it is heavy-tailed than normal distribution. Based on this distribution, they developed a robust EWMA. So for this robust EWMA, the important point just for volatility, they based on the absolute return, so it is different from the J.P. Morgan's EWMA. In J.P. Morgan's EWMA, we know that the volatility is based on the squared return. So in this way, they developed this kind of robust EWMA methodology. So for this robust EWMA methodology, their empirical evidence showed that their methodology can perform better than the J.P. Morgan's EWMA. So here you can see for such a Laplace distribution, it has heavy tails, but it is still a symmetric distribution. So just like such secureness of the distribution is not taken into account. In particular, in this model, the volatility, of course, changing with the time, and it is modeled by the robust EWMA methodology. But in this model, you can see such constant like this root square two, it is completely coming from the distribution of this Laplace distribution. So therefore, we proposed a new kind of model just because the importance of secureness is an important point. So in the literature, of course, in financial modeling, the secureness has been widely recognized, very important. So here, of course, just some examples. So for the distribution of the financial return series. Generalized T distribution is also proposed in the literature. But for this generalized T distribution, it is really complex. So it is not easy to apply in practice. So we just try to account for such stylized effects of skewness and heavy tails simultaneously. And also, in our model, we allow the skewness and the heavy tails changing with the time. So of course, for such a changing skewness and the cartoonness, it has been recognized in the literature. For example, just like this paper by Harvey and Sitek just in 1999, just concerned with how to model the skewness. How to model skewness. Another important problem for portfolio analysis, of course, just the complex dependence among individual securities. So in our work, we just put these two points together. One, we applying our proposed secured EWMA-VR modeling using a symmetric Laplace distribution for the marginal return series. And also, we use the copular methodology to model the complex dependence among individual securities. So of course, here, why we would like to use the symmetric Laplace distribution to model the return series. So here, of course, the basic idea just because we said that for value at risk, in fact, statistically, it is just a quantile. So how to estimate the quantile? Of course, to estimate the quantile in the literature, we could use this Chang function. So it is widely used, proposed by Koenke and Bassett in 1978 in the Journal Econometrica. So for this, based on this check function, of course, we can define the quantile estimate. So for this quantile estimate, it is similarly to the least square methodology to estimate the mean value. So of course, if we look at the quantile estimation from the perspective of likelihood function, then in fact, we could, based on this kind of FPX, so this FPX is just an asymmetric Laplace distribution. Based on this distribution, then we can get our quantile function, QPX. It is a maximum likelihood estimate. So here, of course, we have such an asymmetric Laplace distribution. So for this asymmetric Laplace distribution, it only have one parameter, just P. So of course, that's not enough for our application. So therefore, we suggested a new kind of asymmetric Laplace distribution. It is based on this form. So here we have two parameters. One parameter is sigma. So this sigma, it is just the standard deviation of the return series. And here is P taking values between 0 and 1. It is a shape parameter. So there we have some figures about the probability density function for this asymmetric Laplace distribution for different P. So here, of course, if P takes on 0.5, then this asymmetric Laplace distribution just reduces to the Laplace distribution. So based on this distribution, we developed our secured EWM methodology. So based on secured EWM methodology, here, of course, for this asymmetric Laplace distribution, the value at risk, we have such a formula. So for this formula, here, of course, we need to estimate two parameters. One is sigma, one is P. This K just the function of P. K just function of P. So here, for these two parameters, just similarly to the EWMM methodology in the literature, we just try to model the volatility based on the volatility estimator. That of course, if we assume the volatility is a constant, then we can get the volatility maximum likelihood estimator. It is of that form in the summation form. Of course, then we can rely to such a summation volatility estimator in the form of EWMA, then we can get a secured EWMA estimate of the volatility. So here, of course, you can see for different value of P, then the positive return and the negative return make a different contribution to the volatility forecasting. So here, of course, in this model, if we just let K and P are constants, if we let P just a constant, then of course this is just a constant secured EWMA forecast of the volatility. According to our experience, if we let this P is a constant, of course it can work better than the J.P. Morgan's risk metric methodology, and better than the robust EWMA methodology. But such a significance of the improvement is still not so big. So intuitively, we can imagine, like in reality, the skewness and the kurtosis, in fact, often change with the time. So we developed a new methodology for this P. We let this P also change with the time T. So here, of course, for PT plus 1, for that formula, P equal 1 over 1 plus root U over V. This, of course, we get this formula based on the maximum likelihood estimate of the P for constant P and constant sigma. And then, we try to model this P based on So here, of course, for these two formulas, we just try to model the U and the V by a new EWMA methodology. So here, of course, U just for negative return, V just for positive return. So in this way, we can let the skewness and the kurtosis adaptively change with the real financial return series. So of course, for portfolio analysis, we need to model the dependence structure of individual securities. So for individual securities, of course, how to model it? It is a quite complex thing. So now, copula methodology, of course, quite popular. So we apply the copula methodology to model such a dependence structure. According to our experience, in the class of Archimedean copulas, this Clayton copula is quite useful. So here, I just want to report some outcomes of our empirical work. So we took into account lots of financial series. So this BU, this B is standing for British pound, U for US dollar. So this is for the return series of the exchanging rate of British pound to US dollar is dollar. And the C standing for Canadian dollars, U for US dollars. Of course, similarly, we just take into account the financial return series. This is for Japan yuan, Japanese yuan to US dollar. And this GO, it is a gold price process. We can consider the return series. This is the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index return series. This is for Shanghai Composite Index series. This is for Shenzhen Component Index series. So here we just take into account such seven financial return series from 1st January 1992 to 31st December 2001. So here you can see we have the mean value of the return series, 10 deviations, skewness, kurtosis. Here's just a sample size. So basically you can see such skewness looks quite significant. For example, this for gold price process is quite significant. And also for the kurtosis, it's also quite huge. So here we take into account for the value at risk, the confidence level is 99%. And here, of course, when we apply the secured EWMA forecasting of value at risk, we have some decaying factors. So here we have two decaying factors. One is for beta. So this is beta. This beta, according to our experience, we applying in the likelihood criterion, we got this value. So this value is quite large. So therefore, you can see for the adjustment of this P, it could not be too large. So this beta is quite large. And for lambda, so this is lambda, of course, just here. For this lambda, we take into account different values. So of course, now in practice, we want to test if our methodology is compared with the J.P. Morgan's standard EWMA forecasting and the robust EWMA forecasting. Of course, often for value at risk, we would look at such a test statistics. So first, of course, just like this conditional coverage test, of course, we just unconditional coverage test, we just look at such test. This is just the likelihood ratio statistic. So for this likelihood ratio statistic, it has chi-square distribution with first degree of freedom. And also, of course, often we would look at the independent test. Independent test, of course, we have the likelihood ratio statistic. So this is the distribution. And also we look at the conditional coverage test. This just put the above two tests together. So put them together. Here we have this chi-square distribution with degree of freedom 2. So here we have, we look at some of the outcomes. Here this y-axis, for these figures, it is concerned with the unconditional coverage. So y-axis is just the failure rate of the value at risk. So of course, here, of course, our confidence level for value at risk is 99%. So of course, this failure rate, theoretically, it is 1%. It is 1%. So here, this x-axis is just the value of lambda. So we look at for different values of lambda. This is from 0.85 to 0.99. So here, For this standard EWM, just JP Morgan's risk matching methodology, this is the green plus sign, green. And this is the robust EWMA. This is the blue line. And this is our secured EWMA we use. This is the red dots. So here, of course, you can see this is just the theoretic failure rate. This is 0.01. So you can see our methodology for different values of lambda, it is quite close to this failure rate, 1%. So here for different financial series. So of course here it is based on the marginal distribution for the each individual return series. We look at the volatility, we look at the value at risk methodology. This is for the unconditional coverage test. So this test, of course, we based on the likelihood ratio value. So this is y axis suggests the likelihood ratio statistical value. And here, of course, also for different lambda for x axis. So here you can see this pink line is the critical value for the likelihood ratio test. So this just the at 1% significance level, the critical value of the likelihood ratio test is 6.63. So this is just the pink line. So here, of course, you can see if the likelihood ratio statistical value is greater than this critical value, then we should reject the null hypothesis. So here you can see this green just for the JP Morgan standard EWMA forecasting. And this is blue. Blue is for the robust EWM, just as seen before. And our red points, this is for our secured EWMA. So you can see our secured EWMA basically below to the critical value. So therefore, you can see our methodology is acceptable. But for this standard EWMA and the robust EWMA, basically, they are not acceptable based on such unconditional coverage tests. So here, of course, for different series, you have such outcomes. And also, we look at the independence test. So for independent test, it is also just a likelihood ratio test. So here, similarly. But for this independent test, we can notice that these three kinds of EWM methodologies look quite similar. Although our methodology maybe in some cases looks a little bit better, but basically we cannot distinguish their differences. Now if we look at the conditional coverage test, so for this conditional coverage test, now you can see, we just put the independent test and the unconditional coverage test together, then of course now, still our methodology can perform much better than the standard EWM and the robust EWM. So this is just based on the marginal of course, this is just for the individual return series. We look at the value at risk. So now we look at for a portfolio. I just reported an example. So here we took into account a portfolio. This portfolio consisting of the Shanghai Composite Index and the gold yield. So here, of course, we just look at the portfolio, half portfolio of their return series. So in our empirical test, we used this Clayton copula function to fit the data. So here, we also look at such tests. So for the unconditional coverage test, you can see. This is for JP Morgan's risk, based on JP Morgan's risk matching system. So of course for JP Morgan's risk match system, now for the correlation between two individual securities. It is also based on an EWMA methodology, and then they can get the value at risk for portfolio. So this is the outcome of the likelihood ratio statistical value based on J.P. Morgan's risk matching system. And this is based on our methodology, secured EWMA forecasting by copula. So this is the critical value for 1% at 1% significance level. So here you can see our model is acceptable. And also for independent test, of course, these are two we cannot distinguish much more. And this is for the conditional coverage test. Of course, you can see our methodology can perform better than the J.P. Morgan's risk matching system. So therefore, you can see, based on such a secured EWMA forecasting, of course, our methodology is still simple, but it can perform better than the J.P. Morgan's methodology. So of course, here we have some simple outlook of the future work. So for such a future work, of course, we can do lots of things based on the secured EWMA forecasting. For example, we can combine such methodology with other methodologies in value at risk modeling. For example, just like such a historic simulation and the color simulation, as well as the extreme value theory. So this, of course, we could try to develop the methodologies. And also, extending such risk modeling from the market risk to other risks is also an interesting question. Of course, for other risks, it has different features from the market risk. So for such features, how can we take them into account? So that is also an important problem. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Sudhi, if anybody has any questions,
hi, my name's Andrew Fisher. More of a practical, not so much a practical, but from a practical point of view, have you done any sort of analysis into the actual difference in, like backtest perhaps, some index returns and see the difference in the actual values of the value at risk numbers that you get out, mm-hmm. and see what, monetary difference it has? In particular, is the value at risk measure itself become more volatile under this model?
So for the house price? The house price?
I'm sort of getting from the point from a risk manager point of view, actually using the using the figures. I mean, does it make the value at risk itself more volatile under this model over time? And if it does become more volatile, it becomes, I suppose, harder to use it day to day. I think from a practical point of view as well. Based on how much difference it make, how much value is it going to add by using this? I mean, the risk metrics is probably an accepted sort of industry standard, really.
Sure.
So this increases complexity and increases difficulty in the process. So you're going to have to, from the practical point of view, you're going to have to employ people with the sufficient skills in order to maintain this sort of model. And how much value, is it going to add versus the expense of trying to implement? Do you know where I'm? The sort of question I'm asking.
Yeah.
So, have you looked at the data to see how much difference it actually makes in the actual figures themselves?
So here, of course, just as you said, for the J.P. Morgan's risk management system, of course, it is widely accepted by the financial industry and widely applied by the financial practitioners. So, of course, for me, our purpose is just try to develop some methodologies. So because for methodologies, we just look at how about the performance of our model compared with such widely accepted financial practitioners model. So here, of course, we just try to show this point.
I mean, from what I'm trying to get is, I think it would be valuable to perhaps actually see the figures themselves. The backtesting graphs are quite useful as well.
Yeah.
But if you could actually see the value at risk figures and actually see the quantifiable difference to see if it is actually...
So the figures of value at risk can... For such figures of value at risk here, I did not show it in this talk. Of course, if you're interested, I can send you by email the outcome. Okay.
Are there any other questions? Yep. You just make sure that's turned on. It's a bit hard to tell whether it is.
Okay. Is it? Does that sound? Yep. Yeah. Margaret Bishop from BNP Paribas. Yeah. And you mentioned earlier on that the motivation for doing your analysis was to find something that was more appropriate for working out quantiles.
Yes.
And I just wanted to, I guess, similar question.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking just at the
99%
quantile type error over 95,
mm-hmm.
is the JP Morgan model better, I get, or better or closer to
mm-hmm.
your model,
mm-hmm.
or is it also, does your model perform better mm-hmm. over every quantile? Mm-hmm.
Yes. So here, the important problem for us, of course, here we just look at the difference from the prediction perspective. So just like in the outcomes here, of course, you can see. In here, of course, our data is from 1st January 1992 to 31st December 2001. We use the first 500 observations to estimate the unknown parameters. So the figures for the performance, we just look at the data after the first 500 observations. So we just based on the prediction perspective, look at how about these three methodologies, the performance of these three methodologies. So of course, you can see from our figures. So basically, of course, from the prediction perspective, for example, just like a JP Morgan methodology, usually like this lambda, they would take its value equal to 0.94. So you can see 0.94, the performance not so good for based on such a likelihood ratio statistic test. Okay.
One more question.
Andrew Fisher again.
Okay.
I suppose another question is, did you, I think like the bulk of the data really, at the end of the day, you're looking at the bottom end of the tail. So even fitting to the bulk of the distribution is not as particularly relevant as the closeness of the fit in the tail. And I suppose things like the symmetry is probably not even that important really, because the top half of the distribution potentially doesn't really matter. I mean, the correlations when you get that far down into the bottom tail are not going to be negative. So really, you're just looking at the bottom of each one. So I suppose the top half, whether it's symmetrical or not, as long as you fit the bottom half, then essentially I suppose your distribution fit is, the job is done to some extent. I've seen models in the past where basically they actually take just historical data, the data points in the tail, and try and fit a distribution just to those like extreme events, I suppose is what we're really, really talking about. Is that sort of the way this sort of model is leaning towards? I mean, is that, it seems to me that this sort of approach is tending towards that sort of path. Sort of, fit, you're trying to fit better to that bottom end of the tail rather than the rest of the distribution, I suppose.
Mm, yes. So here, of course, you can see for such a a symmetric Laplace distribution. The important point is we just try to model the different tails for the return series. So of course you can see for value at risk, we're just concerned with the downside tail. So here for this downside tail, if we use a symmetric distribution, then when you try to fit the real data, of course the constraints just restrict your good estimation of the downside tail. So here you can see if we use such a symmetric Laplace distribution, we can try to better estimate the this downside tails. So that of course just one motivation for us to use such a distribution.
Going, gone. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you
for your presentation.
Thank you for everyone.